Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I just like to geek out with gardens and help clients design their gardens, help people understand what gardening is like here in Florida. And this is a great time of the year to be gardening. It's going to be a very good week for gardening. And we have one of my favorite and just amazing persons, Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. It's because I gave her Chick-fil-A for breakfast.
It was wonderful. A couple of bites helps get through, you know, just that first morning with my cup of tea. So thank you so much.
Yes.
It is going to be a great week. We're going to get two cold fronts this week. One's coming through right now. We should get a little bit of rain on the East Coast. A couple of cities down in South Florida where they need it. Hopefully they get some rain. Up north and to the west, not so much rain, but wonderful cool temperatures. You know, highs in the low 80s, 70s, and then 40s and 50s. But this weekend, possible chance of frost up in the North Panhandle. Two cold fronts. So what is going to come through this Saturday, Sunday? Possible rain. And then the next one is next Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to get another chance, but it's going to be a dry cold front. Usually we get rain before it, but not this week. But that just means that we just can water one time a week and we'll be fine. And our plants will really, really love it. So it's a great, great week for gardening. Great week to go out and look at all the Christmas lights. I love the Christmas lights.
I do too. And then, okay, so like, I am like this massive extreme planner. Okay. And so anybody that hasn't seen it, go to our sister station's Magic 107.7 and look at their Instagram page, because Brooke and I decorated their studios twice this season. So in November, and then we switched it up in December.
Because that was so nice of you.
Who likes to stare at the same stuff? But I am excited about this Christmas lights, because I have got a huge, huge idea for next year. So,
going around
and looking at these Christmas lights.
That'll be great.
Yes, it's going to be so exciting.
That is wonderful. And the In Your Backyard newsletter is out. And so if you would like to receive it, you can go to she-consulting.com and sign up for it there. I don't spam and nothing, but I just let you know what to do each month in your garden. My favorite plant of the month. Also to my landscape design tips. Lizzie updates everybody on her garden adventures. And then also to what to do each month in your garden. So it's a lot of great information. And, you know, it went out. I would like to say hi to Mara. She sent me some comments on it. So I appreciate that. I'd like to say hi to Council Bluffs, Iowa. Iowa is where Simon Conway is from. And he broadcasts out of Iowa.
Yes. There.
And so we just got a great assortment of listeners from Iowa.
And Australia.
Australia.
Oh, it's nuts, but we appreciate that. Just, it kind of makes you scratch your head. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Really? The people just,
But I kind of think their weather patterns are the same, so they can kind of get the same information and advice. But also to Texas. A big shout out to Texas, because they listen in too as well. So no matter where you are, and you can even be sleeping right now. I know Tom McCubbin is sleeping. We know that. and so it's a wonderful time this in the morning. So I've got my cup of tea, a little bite of chicken and honey, and we're just going to take calls this morning. Calls and text messages. We'd love to hear your text messages. I do have on our Facebook page, my top five this morning, and that's always in the last quarter of our show, so our fourth segment, and I am going to be talking my top five Christmas carols that mention plants.
Oh.
So I want everybody out there, if you know of a song, Christmas song that mentions plants, we'd love to hear. Maybe you make the top five. We don't know, but you've got 45 minutes, and so we'll about 40 minutes before that comes on.
Yes.
And you can text us 23680 and let us know what a song, Christmas song, that mentions plants. And then like our page too while you're on it.
Yes, definitely.
That's my goal for this year is to up our likes, and that would really help us spread the word about Better Lawns and Gardens.
Yes, and you'll do a good deed. And here's what it is, because you may have somebody who doesn't know or has a question about something with their garden or their yard or what is happening. And you know what? If sharing is caring. So just go ahead and share Teresa's Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page and get the word out there.
Thank you so much. And I want to say good morning to Howie in Peterson's Nursery. And so they are all in the Christmas season. And then Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialists. These nurseries, one is in DeLand, one is in Lakeland. They're just remarkable. And so you just can't help but smile as you're going through. And it's a great time to be planting flowers, shrubs, and trees, especially with this weekly rain we're getting, these little cold fronts with a little bit of warm weather. Plants really love it. And it's a great way to absorb that. And so 23680, or you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. We'd love to hear from you. If you're up, you can just give us a call, ask your gardening questions. Got a lot of great shows today. A big event happens, starts tomorrow. We're going to be talking about that in the second hour. If you know someone who loves to garden, let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you to Carolyn from Tallahassee. She popped in and texted us her song. And it's a great song, and it does mention hollies and a mistletoe, and that is "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas."
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
But is it one of my top five? You have to wait and see. So thank you so much, Carolyn. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Fruit and vegetables. We can be doing a lot with our fruit and vegetables this month. Not only, not really necessarily maintaining or pruning or doing anything like that, any kind of work like that. But selecting, this is a great time to select plants that bloom in the wintertime. Your camellias, your citrus, you can taste the citrus so you know if you like it or not. And then also too, any of your other fruit trees, that your pears and peaches, all of those go dormant right now. So it's good that you can look at it. If it is dormant, you can kind of see where it needs to be pruned. And so you can do that now while they're starting to go dormant. So it is too late for tomatoes and peppers, eggplants and squash. So we don't want to do that. We're going to wait until springtime next year because we're very lucky here in Florida. We can grow tomatoes and peppers and squash and all kinds of eggplants twice a year.
Now, what if we already have the plants and they're growing? Like, they're probably, I don't know, about maybe a foot tall?
Yeah, you could, I mean, keep them growing through the springtime.
Okay.
I mean, through the winter. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
okay.
They'll start to get a new boost. They may slow down.
Okay.
And you may see if it just kind of stays neutral or between the 70s and 80s, they may still produce fruit.
Oh.
Okay, so, you know, if you want to kind of lightly fertilize them, if they're in containers, that's fine. I mean, I wouldn't just put a lot of effort right into them.
What fertilizer?
Just a regular 666.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, just a balanced fertilizer right now, and there's so many out there.
I've seen them staring at the bags this week, and I'm like, this one has a tomato on it. Oh, I'm growing that. Okay, check. And then I see a bell pepper, and I say, like,
there you go. You look
minute.
At the pictures, right?
It's horrible.
There you go. No, it's not. It's just, it makes sense. I will tell you, the writing is so small on the back where it has the label instructions that I have to have a magnifying glass with me all the time.
How did our elders survive without a cell phone to take a picture and be able to zoom?
Exactly. I don't know. That's so many. There's so many questions like that you want to see. But thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you, Mara, for your response. And, all of our fans that send in comments and things, we just love you. So what else can you be doing in the yard right now? So with the warm winter we're going to have with La Nina, we are going to get an occasional frost, possibly an occasional polar vortex where we're going to see freezing. North Panhandle is going to see some possible freezing this weekend. And it's not going to last long, but the temperatures could dip into the low 30s and pockets get, you know, get a little bit of frost. But it's also not going to get cold enough to kill all the insects, the bad ones.
And that's horrible. And that's where you're going to want to get somewhat responsible solutions.
Yes.
Out in your yard.
Because you're still going to have some mosquitoes, especially down in South Florida, on the West Coast, Venice and those areas, Tampa. You're still going to have those. You're still going to have gnats, fleas, ticks. So Summit Responsible Solutions has the control for all of that. We just love them.
Yes.
But that's just going to be the downside. So you're going to still have caterpillars. You know, you're going to get mites. And especially when the plants are stressed. If it's a tropical plant and we're getting some cold and frost temperatures, they may, you know, get susceptible to disease issues too as well. So we want to be very careful on that. Also, too, containers. If you have your vegetables and your fruit trees in containers, every couple of years you want to replenish the soil in it. You know how the soil will sink in a pot?
Yes.
And you go, where's that soil going? Well, that's what actually what plants eat is the soil. The, you know, nature breaks down that soil so the plant can absorb the nutrients and the soil. And so you want to just replenish that soil. It's a good time of the year to do that. What I like to do is lift the plant out of the pot and put the new soil down in the bottom.
That makes sense.
That way you're not burying the plant's crown and you want to be able to see the flare at the bottom of the
tree. Okay, that's good. Because, you know, like 3 years ago, I started transitioning into using the containers, the big like 25 and 30 gallon
yes.
containers, because I knew my raised beds were starting to fall apart because they were wooden. And then we had the hurricane a year ago, but it tore basically everything apart. But yeah, so that's good to know.
You want to make sure that that stays at the same height in your pot. So lift it out, which, you know, if you've got a small containers, if you've got large containers and large fruit trees in it, you won't necessarily be able to do that. But you want to keep it away from that flare.
Now, I got a question. Do you suggest, since I've got like the 25 and 30 gallon pots that I'm using, mm-hmm. do you like maybe take like a wooden dowel or something to push it down and then put some, or maybe dig like a hole
you
to
can.
Kind of...
I'm just thinking that the whole plant sinks in the pot. So
it needs to be raised for raised, root
yes.
growth.
Well, root growth and to keep that crown at the top height. If you keep planting or putting soil back in the container
right.
and the plant the tree is you know going deeper and deeper and deeper,
yes.
that crown, that flare, then it's going to get too buried too deep.
Okay.
So if you kind of lift it up now, you can take a wooden dowel and just scrape the outside of it
okay.
and lift it up. Mm-hmm. And push that dirt down
underneath
to the
it.
Bottom.
Okay.
And then add more to the sides. That's another way to do it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. And what should you use? You know, I just would say regular compost or potting soil is just fine. Regular ground dirt. I wouldn't just do topsoil.
Okay.
I would mix in manure, topsoil, like black cow,
mm-hmm.
And compost, and then put that in.
Okay. Good.
Now, what that's going to do is it's going to allow the plant to hold on to moisture longer, and it's also going to have the root space to grow, and so that will be helpful.
Thank you.
Okay? So what else can you be doing? Indoor plants. You want to make sure that you're keeping your poinsettias. Yesterday was National Poinsettia Day. And I did not catch it to post it on our Facebook, but, you know, we have such beautiful poinsettias, all the different varieties.
I have the best poinsettias, and I need to send you the picture of them if I
yes.
didn't send it to you, but they're red, but they're also white. They are splatter paint.
Oh, aren't those beautiful?
I am just like, then I'm like praying over them, going, please, dear Jesus, the one thing, well, one of many things I really don't want to die in my lifetime is this plant. That's because it's so gorgeous.
It is. Oh, well, you're just going to have to make sure it stays moist, but not too wet.
Yes.
And keep it away from the heat.
Got you.
Heat or, you know, a draft. You want to have good air circulation. That air circulation is so important.
Yes.
And so that will be good. If you've been cooling or chilling your bulbs in your refrigerator, now's a great time to take them out plant them. You can't keep them in there for years, Lizzie.
I literally forgot about them until you just said it. We've got to go to video one day because I'm telling you, it was like somebody just blew a dog whistle when she said that. And I'm like, oh, I forgot to pull my bulbs out of the fridge.
There you go. You have bulbs in the refrigerator. Yeah, so you got to be careful so that nobody eats them too. You want to be careful of that. So, yeah, you can start growing, and it also makes a lovely gift. You know, if you want to buy a bulb, I know that Peterson's Nursery and, Quality Green Specialist Dana Venrick in DeLand, they will have plant gifts that you can provide, and that's always very nice to do. And so one of the my clients, they texted me, and they're heliconias. Their tropical plants went really yellow and brown tips, and they're asking why. And I'm just going to say that cold snap that we had, it was not only cold, but it was windy. And wind will desiccate, will pull all the moisture out of plants. And so, you know, it's important to recognize that. Give them some water, but not too much. You know, South Florida's in that drought situation right now. And we don't want to overwater just because we're in a drought. Just water normally, one time a week. 1.5 inches is all the landscape. That's your turf and your plants and shrub and trees. That is established turf, shrub, and trees. Okay, so if they've been in the ground, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, they're established. If you've mowed your new lawn 3 times, it's established. So you don't need to be watering so much. And turf can get by with that 1.5 inches with cooler temperatures. You just need to water once every 7 to 10 days. If you've been overwatering, and the main signs for overwatering is dollarweed. Dollarweed is an aquatic plant. Only grows in water, shorelines, lakes, near or areas with poor drainage and areas that are overwatered. If you have that, you want to make sure that you are not overwatering, and that means calibrating your irrigation system. What do I mean by that? Calibrating your irrigation system means you're going to time how long your specific irrigation system takes to water an area. So what you do is you take, I would say probably 8 to 10 cans. You can be tuna fish cans, cat food, dog food cans. Mark it at 1 inch. Okay, marking it 1 inch, and then put it out in 1 garden zone. Then turn your sprinkler system on and time how long it takes for that system to fill that can up to 1 inch. That's how long you water. Okay, so it could be 20 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour. You're going to find some cans that have a half an inch in it when there are others that have an inch. And then you're going to find cans that don't have anything in it at all. Those are going to be the areas that you notice are going to turn brown. And turning on your irrigation system longer to green that area up is won't help. Okay. I always ask at my irrigation workshops, how many of you water to make the lawn green?
Oh.
And you see the hands going up?
Of course.
Right.
Just
right,
natural.
Right. My turf is turning brown. I'm going to water it. Watering doesn't make anything green. And they kind of look puzzled, and I'll go, well, how many of you drink water? How many of you are green? It's the same thing. A plant's a living organism. You're a living organism. What that does is watering makes the roots available for absorbing the water, and it doesn't make it green. So you got to be careful. So this hour is all about you. You can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let us know your Christmas carol with a plant mention. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967. or you can text us 23680, your gardening question. Let your friends and neighbors know about Better Lawns and Gardens. But also, too, my top five this morning is my top five Christmas carols that mention plants. And I'd like to hear what songs you think will be in my top five, and what Christmas carols or Christmas songs you think. And we'd love to hear that. So we were talking about what to do in your vegetable garden. So you can fertilize. Here is the dichotomy of fertilizing, is that you want to grow your cool season vegetables so you can fertilize your vegetable gardens. And you can do that every 3 to 4 weeks. You could use top dressing of black cow. You could also do a general fertilizer like 666 and just follow the label instructions. But you and then you can also fertilize your container plantings with slow release fertilizer if they are cool season plants. But you want to stop fertilizing your fruit trees and also your shrubs and other plants, your tropicals. You do not want to fertilize, except in South Florida. So I know that's confusing, but you really need to know your gardening zone, your if you live in a microclimate, and how low it gets. If you are in an area, 8, 9, sometimes 10, anywhere up above Lake Okeechobee, then you are going to see a freeze this year. May not last long, may not do a lot of damage. We may have a couple of them, but it's going to be with a La Nina warm weather, but we're still going to see some freezes. And you don't want to encourage growth on your tropicals or plants that that the fertilizer will stimulate growth on plants that will freeze. Okay, but your cool season plants, your camellias, your podocarpus shrubs that you've just put in that will not freeze during a storm, a polar vortex or a freeze, you can fertilize those.
Okay, so, and not to sidetrack, but you were talking about the tropicals. So I have a whole orchard of banana trees, it seems like, because they just keep sprouting everywhere.
Yes.
What am I supposed to do if we have a freeze? Because these things are like, there's at least one that's probably, and this is just throwing out a number, probably about 12 foot tall.
Right. Okay, so has it had fruit yet?
No, but it's going on 2.5, almost 3 years.
Okay, so that's what bananas need. They need to go through 2 winters before they start to produce. So you'll probably get bananas off it next year. But if it gets knocked back by a wintertime hard freeze, then it'll be in another additional year before it goes. So it probably got hit one time when it was little, and now we're going into 2 winters that are warm, and so it'll probably produce fruit. So do not fertilize them.
Okay.
You do not want to fertilize, and pray that we don't get a hard freeze.
Right.
Okay. Because it takes 2 years for bananas to produce fruit. They're one of the plants that will die after fruiting. And so you don't think they're dying because you see the other ones coming up.
Got it.
But it starts to decline after they produce the fruit.
Okay. That's good to know.
So there you go. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you want to remove the yellow leaves that were damaged by the first cold freeze, you can do it. But do not cut your plants back. Still too early to do that. You're going to do that next February. You're going to cut your plants back then. Do not cut them back now. And so I have a email, and it's from Sherry, and she's in Indian Atlantic. And she says, hello, Teresa. Can you tell me what is causing these spots on my clusia leaves? I've had a bad year with both scale and fungus on my plants. I've been treating them for both, but they do not seem to be improving. I love your show. I feel like I've learned a lot about Florida gardening since tuning in. Well, thank you, Sherry. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say. We appreciate that. So, fungus, rust, this has been a terrible insects, terrible year for stress for our plants. Because of the drought, because of the lack of rainfall, and the high temperatures, the humidity, we are seeing a lot of different issues. But I want to tell you, Sherry, that your plants, once you use a fungicide on them, which is what I hope that you've been using, you can use Dacanil, you can do Monterey, You can do Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew for fungicide and Bonide. You can use any fungicide on it. You want to do the tops and the bottom of your plants so that it's dripping. You want to do this on a day that is warm, but you don't want it, or and it's not, and it's going to be dry, no rainfall, okay? But you also want to prevent the fungus from happening. I'm going to ask you, what time of the day are you watering at? That's going to be a big thing, because if you're watering at night, anytime outside of, you know, 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., that's the perfect time to water your yard. You don't want to be watering in the evening. You do not want to be watering in the early mornings, 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. You want to water between 5 and 10 a.m. That way, the plants are going to dry off, and they're not going to stay wet longer than 5 hours. If plants get irrigation, overhead irrigation doesn't help plants. Okay, so if they're getting irrigation and they're staying wet for more than 5 hours, they're going to get a fungus. They're going to get a disease issue. So that bacterial leaf spot that you have on your plants, okay, it's not going to go away. So I would cut the leaf off that has those spots on, and there's not too much. It doesn't look bad, Sherry. You had 2 spots on one and 1 or 2 on another leaf. You can cut those off and throw them away, but don't cut or prune drastically your clusias, okay? Just cut off the diseased portion and throw them away. Do not let it go down on the ground. And that's another big part of, you know, making sure you don't get diseases, is you got to be very clean in your yard. Any leaf that's diseased, powdery mildew, has black spot, you want to pick up and not leave in the ground, because then that bacteria, that disease, stays in the ground. And then next year or next season, when we get rain or the trifecta factors of getting disease issues will be there, and it will just reappear. All right. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five Christmas carols that mention plants. Honorable mention, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Mm. It's a 1945 Mel Torme and Bob Wells song. And chestnuts are wonderful plants, chestnut trees. We need to plant more. Number five is a 16th century French carol, Lo, Ere a Rose is Blooming. It's a wonderful, wonderful Christmas carol that mentions, that talks about roses. The number four is The 12 Days of Christmas, an 18th century English children's carol, Partridge in a Pear Tree. So that is number four. Number three, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly, which is a 16th century Welsh song that celebrates New Year's Eve. And number two is a 19th century English carol, The Holly and the Ivy. And my number one Christmas carol that mentions plants is the 16th century German carol, O Christmas Tree, O Tannenbaum. And that is my top five Christmas carols that mention plants. Thank you to everyone who turned in their suggestions. That is wonderful. We do appreciate it. And so we are taking your gardening questions. We just have a few more minutes left in this hour. Waking up, you're having your morning beverage. Good morning to everyone. It's going to be a beautiful day today.
Yes,
it is. Lovely weather. Some of you are going to get a little bit of rain today and tomorrow as a cold front passes through South Florida. You're going to get the rain tomorrow on Sunday. And the West Coast, not so much. We're sorry. But then we have another cold front coming through next Wednesday and Thursday that should bring some more rain as well. So we should be getting it about once a week now. Lizzie, did you know that the earliest carolers that were found were on a bayou tapestry, which dates back to the 11th century. And so these carolers, this tapestry depicts soldiers from Western France. They were called Britney Spears. I love that.
That's good. I didn't want to like it, but that was actually good.
There you go. So the Bayou Tapestry is going to be in London next year when we go for our Chelsea Flower Show and the Art and Bloom Garden Tours. So Tony's excited about seeing it. The Bayou Tapestry, the entire tapestry, is going to be on display in the British Museum.
Oh, sweet. Now, if anybody would like to be a part of that and find out the cost and how to register mm-hmm. for that, how do they find out about that?
They can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. All one word, artandbloomgardentours.com. We have wonderful trips planned for next year, all doing with gardening, botanical gardens, private gardens. We get to go into some beautiful gardens that are not open to the public. So lots of wonderful trips we're planning. And so make a great, great Christmas gift. All right. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And so I have a question from Jamie in Port St. Lucie, and she has ants on her plants. And she is wondering, you know, why she's hoping that they won't kill the plant. And I'm just going to tell you, Jamie, that's not going to be the case. Ants do not kill plants. They are symbiotic in the fact that they love to, it's a symptom. So it's a symptom of another problem. So you either have aphids or you have plants that secrete that honeydew, and that honeydew is very, very attractive and sweet, and it will bring ants to it. And so the ants will come to harvest the honeydew, and they will even carry away the caterpillars and the eggs of predatory plants or insects. So it's really cool. And what's cool about aphids and ants is the aphids will actually they will rub the ant's belly, the abdomen, and that will cause the ants. They farm them. And I'm going to take that back because it's too early in the morning. The ants will actually tickle the aphids underneath their body, and the aphids then produce that honeydew. So the ants farm the aphids. Really, it's really very, very cool. And so when you see ants, it's a symptom. Now, what should you do? The best thing to do is kill the whole colony, and that is using baits. You can use Amdro, Taro, Advion. You can do that. You can also use specific baits for fire ants, like Extinguish or Advion gel. You can use orange oil, products that contain limonene, okay? And this is products like Orange Avenger and Antifuego. You can use spinosad on your plants. Fertilome and Monterey, and also Bonide has it. And then you also want to make sure that you just check your plants, check your pots for ants. They love to get into those dry areas. What to avoid? Cornmeal, chalk, salt, baking soda, cucumber rinds.
Wives' tails.
They don't work. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Yes, fine, thanks. Teresa, I like to create my own pots with annuals to display in front of the home, and I recently created some pots with geraniums and alyssum. My question is, other than keeping them moist, should I be using any 2020 liquid or possibly a granular bloom buster or bloom special to put in there to try to get the most blooms from the geraniums?
Yes, you can use fertilizer, especially down in Venice. You can use fertilizers. I would be careful about a 20-20-20 unless the plant soil, the soil in the pot, is really moist, because that's very high in nitrogen. And you could possibly, if it's dry weather and it's warm in the 80s, it may burn the plants. So I would use if you use 20-20-20, I would dilute it. Okay, cut it in half, yeah. Cut it in a third, mm-hmm. and then do it every couple of weeks. And you can use that. So, yeah, fertilizing it is recommended, especially down South Florida when they're growing all the time. And they're cool season annuals, too, as well. So you can fertilize them.
Appreciate it. You know, I was talking with our landscape contractor this week, and by his measurements, we're 16 inches below normal.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah. So we're always hoping for rain, but we're just not getting it.
We're not getting it. And this year is acerbated by the no tropical storms and no hurricanes. We need to find those new Florida residents that are praying for no storms, because
right?
We need it.
That's right.
Tell them to stop praying.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and Lizzie.
Thank you so much, Mike. Merry Christmas to you and Lori. Thank you. So that is Mike from Venice, and he is an avid fan, and we just love to hear from him.
Yes, definitely. So, and I love our listeners, because we have a few listeners who call in and they'll crack a joke with me before I get them on air, and it just, I love it. So thank you for being the best listeners.
We want to say thank you to Eileen. I got her Christmas cards.
And yes, so thank you.
That was so wonderful of her. So Lori in St. Cloud says, should I fertilize my in-ground mums that are reblooming this year? Thank you. Yes, go ahead. You can put a slow-release fertilizer on them. You can just do a diluted solution of liquid fertilizer, too, as well. Again, the liquid fertilizer can be very, very hot on plants, especially in dry weather. So you don't want to burn them. So always dilute it. I do any time of the year when I use liquid fertilizer. I use liquid fertilizer on my annuals and my vegetables, and then slow-release fertilizer on everything else. And then that way that I can, you know, because I don't do any harm to the plants. And so it's just very easy to do. And the amount of the analysis of the fertilizer tells you how dangerous the plant is. And when I say dangerous, it's going to be likely to burn. So a 666 is only 18% fertilizer. The other 82% is, you know, just non-necessary ingredients, a way to apply it. Fillers, you know, dirt. And so you want to, you're not going to hurt anything with a 666. That's why it's recommended so much. It's just something you can put down and it doesn't do a lot of damage. When you're talking 20-20-20, that's, you know, 60% fertilizer, 40%, you know, non-fertilizer. And you're going to do some damage, especially if your plants aren't watered, they're not hydrated. So always, if you're going to use the liquid fertilizer, I always dilute it, or I make sure that my plants and my containers have been watered well 2 to 3 days ahead of time so they can absorb that fertilizer. Because basically, at its base, fertilizer is a salt. And when you water it with salt water, it can tend to burn. So even if it says it's not going to, if your plant's too dry, the soil's too dry, your roots are desiccated, you're going to do some damage. So you want to make sure your plants are always hydrated. That doesn't mean overwatering.
Yes.
Don't water. You're only allowed to be watering one time a week right now. But that's all we need to water. I hate the word restrictions because of that. So thank you to Mike. Mike just called.
Yep.
Thank you to Mike for calling the text messages. Thank you so much. And we're going to be back. We have a great event happening next hour. So we're going to be talking to, we're going to be talking about the Audubon Christmas Birdwatch. Renee Wilson from the Audubon Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary in Naples, Florida, is going to share ways that we can participate in this event. And this is a must for everyone in Florida. We will need your help. It's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you want to recap on what you may or may have not missed, or you just want to rehear it again because, well, you know, you just want to update your knowledge, go to betterlawns.com. That is betterlawns.com.